Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by 123.ie. Don't make insurance a hot topic. Just go to 123.ie, where simple is smarter.
Now, vaginismus is a condition experienced by many women, yet it hasn't been the subject of research for decades in this country. Maria McAvoy is a psychology lecturer at the Waterford Institute of Technology and part of a group hoping to talk to couples who have had to deal with it. Maria, good afternoon.
Hello, Sean.
For people who don't know what it is, I suppose start by describing what is vaginismus.
Yes. Well, vaginismus is an involuntary contraction of the muscles around the vagina that makes penetration impossible. And it can be due to any sort of penetration, not just sex, but also using tampons or going for a smear test.
So it can restrict one's life in multiple ways, actually.
Absolutely.
Not just in the sexual arena.
Yes.
And have there been... Has there been a lot of collection of statistics in terms of how prevalent it is, especially going over a series, you know, generations?
Yeah, well, there's no current statistic available, but there were studies done on vaginismus in Ireland now over 30 years ago. And at that time, they estimated it was 5 in every 1,000 marriages. Mm. And then there was a more current study by Relate in Northern Ireland, and they found it was the second most prevalent female sexual dysfunction that they were treating at their clinics as
okay.
well. But the rates in Ireland are currently unknown.
Okay, so and have any studies been done as to what the cause or causes are?
Well, not in Ireland for the last 30 years, which is why I thought I would take up the cause. But there are many international studies to look at the types of things that might contribute to vaginismus. So there are two types of vaginismus. First of all, there is a primary type of vaginismus where the woman has never been able to tolerate any sort of penetration. And then there's a secondary type of vaginismus where a woman may have had very pleasurable sexual experiences in the past and something has happened then that this reaction has happened. It might have been as a result of a rough smear test or difficult childbirth, but now the woman can no longer tolerate penetration.
Okay, and I suppose in that second instance, it's relatively easy to identify
exactly.
what the cause of it is.
Yeah, yeah, and primary vaginismus is more interesting because that reaction has always been there. So quite often it has to do with the kinds of negative and shaming messages that come from families when somebody is growing up. And quite often, as you know, the sexual reputation of the daughter is, you know, indicative of the reputation of the family quite often. Mm. And so girls will be told not to come home pregnant, you know, to be careful of their behaviour. And there's a lot of kind of shaming and negative messages around sex, or sex is simply not talked about in the home at all. And then there's a kind of a fear around sex and a fear around talking about it. And that can be compounded by a lack of sex education in school as well. And then from the interviews I've done, you know, when women go to their peer group to talk about sex, quite often they get the messages that, you know, the first time will be very painful and there's a lot of kind of scaremongering around sex. So those messages can have an impact. And quite often those messages can also come from a religious background as well,
yeah.
where we know that quite often female sexuality is shamed. And what's interesting is it doesn't matter what religion you're talking about. So if you look at Orthodox, Jewish, Islamic, Catholic countries, it doesn't really matter what country you're talking about. These messages seem to be pervasive and you get higher rates of vaginismus in those countries.
Right. OK, well, there's a very strict set of sexual mores.
Yeah.
And perhaps it's not sex just, is regarded as kind of dirty.
Absolutely. And it's not just how religion speaks about it, but in particular, how the family enforces that. And in particular, quite often, how the mother speaks the daughter about her sexual behaviour and about her reputation and how those messages are communicated by the family more so. Because it was just an issue of religion, then everybody living in Orthodox country would have the difficulty, but seem to be more so in households where this is strictly enforced.
Mm, right. So while it presents itself in a physical way, it's actually some sort of psychosexual condition.
Yes, yeah. Well, I mean, there are a range of contributing factors. For some women, the problem may be physical. I mean, there are all sorts of physical problems that a woman might have that might set up a painful reaction, like bacterial vaginosis. And if this is a worry, you know, women can go and be examined and rule those things out. But quite often for women, it is a psychological difficulty where there is a fear around penetration.
Mm. And so, I suppose, in typically speaking, as far as we can generalise, that would be going to a counsellor or getting some sort of therapy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there are psychosexual counsellors available, but there aren't enough, you know. Mm. So quite often women will go to their GP first. But unfortunately, it seems to be quite haphazard because GPs don't really get training about female sexual difficulties in their basic training. So unless they go for training themselves, they won't know about it. So some GPs are excellent. They'll know what it is. They'll explain it clearly to the woman and they will refer her on to appropriate services. And if you get a GP who really doesn't know a lot about it, what I've heard from my interviews, you know, is typically women will be dismissed. They'll be typically told, you know, just relax, go home, have a glass of wine, it'll all be fine. And when a woman gets that kind of reaction, it can be so hurtful and so isolating. Mm-hmm. You know, we find that couples who are dealing with vaginismus don't speak about it outside of the couple. They don't talk to friends, they don't talk to family. And so if they go to a GP for help and they are dismissed, that might end their help seeking. And, you know, that's as far as it goes. And
well, yeah, that's interesting, because it could be for, if you like, 30 or 40 years ago, it was because of very strict Catholic mores and we didn't talk about sex.
Absolutely.
But now in the 21st century, possibly that can stem from, well, you know, we're all liberated now. We're all supposed to be having sex like porn stars. So you're there's a different source of shame, but it's still shame.
I mean, you brought up pornography there, and that's really important as well, because when I've talked to therapists in my research, they said women in their 30s and 40s are affected by the religious messages. Women in their 20s perhaps have seen pornographic images maybe early on, and we know that pornography is made for men. It has very little to do with sexual pleasure for women. It can quite often be, you know, seen as quite aggressive. And if that's the first experience of seeing a sexual image that a woman has, it can set up the vaginistic response, because if you think about it, the body is doing what it's supposed to do. You feel threatened by sex. So your body is, it's actually a healthy reaction. It's like nearly when something comes at your eye and you blink. Mm. You know, your body's actually protecting. This is something that will be painful. This is something to be afraid of. And so the muscles tense and try and protect you from that. So rather than seeing it as a dysfunctional body part, you know, that the medical model quite often sees it as, you know, we often look at it from the psychological point of view as, well, this is a good, healthy reaction, but it has become exaggerated and now is causing problems in the relationship.
And we have no idea how many people are having this
problem. But we know it's common, because when I talk to therapists, they say that they treat women every single week for vaginismus. Mm. And it's really, really common, but no recent statistics exist to tell us.
So Maria, tell us about your study. What, how is it going to be conducted, and what are you aiming to
do? Well, I've been doing the study over the last couple of years. It's a study by Dublin City University, and I'm working with Dr. Rosaline McIlvenny and Dr. Rita Glover. And we're doing the first study in 30 years on vaginismus in Ireland. And I've interviewed different kinds of professionals, psychosexual therapists, GPs, physiotherapists, about how they work with women and couples with vaginismus. And I also want to interview couples. So at the moment, I'm in the phase of interviewing couples. And I would like to raise awareness about the study and get the word out, that I would like people to come and share their stories if they have ever experienced vaginismus or they're currently experiencing vaginismus. And we also offer support and help available for people that might want some extra help as well. And we want to know what impact vaginismus has on relationships and, you know, how the couple experience it, how they cope, what their experiences have been in seeking help in Ireland, what things they found helpful and what kind of responses they found unhelpful.
Yeah, and of course, this will all be treated in the strictest confidence.
Absolutely,
as well.
Absolutely. Completely confidential. You know, the person only speaks with me, and the records are, you know, kept very confidential. Nobody will read the interview apart from me and my supervisors, you know, and any publications that come from the research are completely anonymized. So the people are never identified.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to know if same-sex couples.
Absolutely.
Have this
problem too. We'd be very, very interested in talking to same-sex couples as well, because we know that this is a concern for lesbian couples as well as heterosexual couples. So,
good. Well, how would people get in contact with you if they like to
I have
part?
A website. It's www.vaginismusresearchireland.com. I'm also very active on Twitter, at Irish Vaginismus. And so my phone number and my email and my contact details are all on the website. So if people want to get in touch confidentially, I would say to send me an email and I will send you all the information about the study, and then we can talk from there.
Maria McAvoy is a lecturer in psychology at Waterford Institute of Technology and is conducting that research, as you've just been hearing. Maria, thank you.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by 123.ie. Don't make insurance a hot topic. Just go to 123.ie, where simple is smarter.
Very much.
Thank you, Sean.